Hi, everybody. It's Bree Backwell with your OnlyFans Breecap. Michael Mode, we call him Mode, is the current bass player for William Beckman, who I joke, have you ever heard of him? Because they're killing it. Just open for George Strait, which we talk about that. We talk a lot about people today on a first-name basis. First name bassist? Puns. Dalton is, of course, Dalton Domino, an incredible artist that Mode played with, that I cut my teeth in the music scene with. Dalton is a force as a manager too now, and we talk about Mode's natural path to management, which he's currently exploring with the amazing new Zoe Allen. We love her. We talk about Kay Butts, who is Caitlin Butts, Prusky and Bartula, who are members of the Cody Johnson Band, and our friends. And a train interrupts us twice since we can't film in the RV due to broken slide outs. Also, we give a lot of love to our friends at Twin Rivers Podcast, who are always more prepared than me when it comes to podcasting, but they're great friends with Michael Mode because, honestly, who isn't? I love this dude so much, and you will too, and I'm so glad that Beckman and the guys are okay after their trailer fiasco. We talk about that too. Enjoy! Hey, y'all, it's Bree Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and four nights of outstanding musical performances across five venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3 day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes two free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3 day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
I mean, I had one manager come in and I was telling him how tired I was or something, and he was like, you ain't seen tired yet. You just wait. And it was like almost this like sadistic,
you don't know you don't know ball.
Yeah. And it was just like, why do you want to run your artists into the ground and that right. brings you joy?
Hey everybody, this is Bree Bagwell and this is my podcast OnlyVans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Well, I'll save the Dalton story for that.
No, well, whatever.
He's kind of my Yoda.
Dalton is your Yoda?
Yeah, for management and like things to do with more in the business that I don't fully understand yet. Like, but I went to school for it, but like, you know, I didn't get a degree in that or anything like that.
Well, I did, and it didn't help me.
I wish I would have kept like my textbooks just so I could go back to them and be like, what is
management?
Yeah.
I think that you would be a really great, I mean, you are going to be and are probably currently a great manager just because you have an understanding of all sides of the business.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like, it's not necessary, but like, I think it is kind of important to be like, know what it's like to be out on the road, just roughing it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how to come to those artists in those moments of like, just like, hey, like, this is going on. Don't just like berate them because they're already stressed out. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, managers, I mean, I had one manager come in and I was telling him how tired I was or something, and he was like, you ain't seen tired yet. You just wait. And it was like almost this like sadistic,
you don't know you don't know ball.
Yeah. And it was just like, why do you want to run your artists into the ground and that right. brings you joy? That's right. Not how it should go. But I feel like getting into management is kind of a logical step for you, like a next step. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, like it's kind of weird. I kind of fell into it kind of like Dalton a little bit, because like the whole thing with Stelly is like he was kind of, you know, mentoring them, writing with them and all that stuff out in College Station. Even in 2020, like we came in and played with a couple of their bands while they were still building bands. But like Stelly like had a show at the Tap and he wanted to seem more professional, so he was like, hey Dalton, will you like act like my manager?
What? I didn't know that story.
Yeah and it fell into his lap and he ended up loving it, so
good for him. Yeah. I remember he called me, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago out of the blue. I was like, Dalton Domino, like, hello. He said, I'm managing this girl Shelby, and I'm running across all of these issues, managing a girl. I've never done it before. And I was like, yeah, welcome. I don't have any advice here. It's just kind of, this is messed up and it just is more messed up, or it's more confusing than managing a dude, maybe. Right. I mean, she was already dealing with a crazy stalker.
Yeah, like we've always like kind of known, you know, like with the female artist thing, that like that it's like that. I mean, I, like, you hear of the obvious, like, you know, big artists, the Lennons, you know, all that situation with what happened there, the Dimebag Darrells, like that kind of thing. But like, I don't think I quite realize how like prevalent it is for female artists. I should have, but like I didn't fully realize. But we've had a couple friends recently that we've scoured through their DMs, and it's crazy talk. It's them talking to themselves, like, you know, and getting mad about it. It's super weird.
It's so insane. And you don't respond, and then they get mad at you for not responding. But everything that they've ever, you know, if you respond literally 2,000 fire emojis to every one of my stories,
like, it's like,
gonna get blocked. Like, yeah, I'm not like, what do I ever do with responding. That? Yeah, and then you're mad I don't respond. It's a very strange territory. But it's interesting you say that, because Paul, he's been in the music industry 20 years, and until we started dating, he didn't realize. He's like, there's so much that I just didn't realize until you're in it. And it's not like he was ever a jerk or anything, or you either, or not that you weren't paying attention. But when you're actually working with a female, like, the differences are.
That's kind of what happened here. It wasn't everybody that offered Zoe, you know, but there were some that were like, what are you getting out of this kind of deal? You know what I mean? And then like some other people that had, you know, there was women that had alternative motives, you know, not in that light per se, but like they had their own motives for other businesses and other things. And I was finally like one night, I was like, Zoe, you know what? I'm just going to manage you. She had asked me like several times before, and like I'd kind of joked around with her, like, oh, I'm just going to manage you. And just after what she's seen so far that I know about, like, I'm sure there's even more. That's when I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And my whole thing is like, I'm going to get you to a spot and hand you off, you know, like show you what I know. I'm basically just mentoring you. You know what I mean? She's like, well, let's talk money. I was like, you're not going to pay me anything. I was like, once you start selling out Red Rocks, then you can pay me some money if you want. But like, even then, like the whole time I was just like, you know, I just want to build her up and hand her off. And then finally Dalton, of all people, was like, dude, are you enjoying it? And I was like, yeah, it's really interesting doing this side of the business, even down to the venue stuff. Like it's a world I understand but didn't fully understand. But yeah, no, like I ended up enjoying it. Yeah. We had pre-production last night.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if she's ever worked with a full band before. And Casey Johns was in there from Yellow Dog.
So great. Casey's so great.
We came up together in Lubbock, you know.
For real?
Yeah, he played in Dick's Hat Band. Bass player. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I did know that.
Yeah, he's a blue lighter, man. Like, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. We're talking about Zoe Allen, by the way. Yeah. And we're talking to Michael Mode, by the way. I never introduced the guests. It's just kind of what I
was like. I kind of love that, though.
We got picked up by a big network and they were like, hey, can you like introduce the guests? And I was like, oh, I guess that is important. But now I just do it at the beginning.
The Twin Rivers girls got me, though. Like their intro was like so sweet.
Oh, I know.
That I just like wanted to crawl inside my own skin. It was beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but like, you know how musicians are, where we like to dog on ourselves. So like when somebody says something nice, you're just like, oh no, like that's so sweet.
I didn't really know them that well when they did mine. Mm-hmm. And I was, same thing, it kind of caught me off guard. And
they
then
do
I
their
was
homework,
like, that
too.
Was the nicest thing. Oh yeah, I don't do that. We don't do that on this
podcast. No. We're talking.
No good intros and no research. Little to no research. Yeah. Which is why I've pretty much only had my friends on here. So it's really funny that you know, you're like, why won't you have me on your podcast? And I'm like, no, you're like at the top of the list. I had to show you my list. I'm like, look, because it's just easy for me to just chat with my friends. I don't even
absolutely
really have
to and every
prepare.
Time we're hanging out, we usually get into some kind of conversation. Yeah. And then we're like, we should do this on the podcast.
Kyle, hit record right now.
Yeah,
dude. Kyle's like, I'm not even there and you're at a bar. That's not how we do it. Okay, so back to Casey Johns. You were I'm glad that you're here now, but that's all the times that I got to hang out with you that I early days was our West Texas.
Right. And the first time we met at the Tap in College Station.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Yeah, Dalton Domino show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll never forget that one.
Is that when I sprouted bull horns? And I went like this, and I just, I don't really know why I was doing that.
It was like perfect, though. Like, she was, we had just met. Everybody was in the house. Prusky, like, everybody was in the house.
Bartula.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were having a good time, as you do at the tap, and then, you know, something just kept hitting me in my ribs, and I was like, what is that? And I was looking, there's nothing there, and I was like, okay, I guess Dalton or somebody, typical Dalton would do something like that. Then I'd feel it again, and feel it again, and then finally, like, the last time I looked down, it's just you like...
I was being a bull.
And you said, I'm a bull. And I was like, I'm going to be friends with Bree Bagwell for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and
like,
we have been.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss those old days in the sense where, you know, like the young girls coming up, I just had a write with Molly McDonald, who's 19.
Yeah.
She's so great. And Zoe, how old is Zoe?
She's 21.
Okay, she's 21.
Might have just turned 22, I'm not too sure.
We were insane. And it was very fun.
Yeah.
But I really feel like I'm amazed that we're all still alive. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's Keith Richards syndrome. That man's still smoking cigarettes, like, you know?
Well, like, I remember one time showing up to a show, and Dalton, I don't think he would care if I told the story.
No, he does not.
He was asleep on the stage with a bottle of Jack Daniels, and then you guys were drinking some, and you were like, do you guys want some? And we're like, yeah. So, I mean, it just kind of was how it was. And now, you know, all the things about, I was talking to Molly, and I said, I wasn't drinking last week, you know, and so she wanted to go out, and I just told her, you know, diving into the alcohol, man, I wish I hadn't. I just didn't know that there was other options. But she goes, but you have so many stories, and you guys have so much fun, or you did. And she's not wrong.
I don't think, no, the experience, like, I mean, yeah, when you look back at it, especially, like, as we get older, and, like, we've been in this for a good amount of time, like, you look back at it, and you're like, how did we do that? But, no, yeah, most of those nights that we remember forever, like,
yeah,
you know, wouldn't have happened.
Or had kind it, of remembered,
yeah,
together. What is, no, well, Django Walker calls it a gray out.
Yeah. I'm happy you said Django Walker. We were talking about, you know, creeps, you know, stalkers to women, and we were
Django's one of them. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. That's our friend.
No, he just creeps on us boys.
Right, like, right.
He just likes to make things weird for us. But like he,
true.
No, he. We were sitting at a table with a young lady that was going through it. And she was one of the ones that was, you know, kind of showing us what was going on. And Django said, man, let's just set them up and make it a meet and beat. we bring them to a meet and greet and we just beat them up.
Okay, I love that. I wasn't sure where you're going with that exactly.
Copyright. No, okay. Copyright.
Just, that is so
just
funny.
Just trick people, come to your meet and greet and then beat them up, you know, for the things they send people.
Or K-Buds just said she used to, like, match with dudes on Tinder and then just invite them to the show, which is also brilliant.
Oh, I love that woman.
I know. I love that woman, too. It is very weird. I guess I've been out of the... You know, talking to younger girls, they'll go right with guys, and they're not sure if it's because the guy wants to date them or just to really write with them.
Right.
And that's been so long, because Paul and I have been together for so long. It's been so long since I've had that feeling that, like, with Zoe and stuff, it's like, I bet she has just so much more of that. Oh, here goes the train. We might have to pause. Everybody take a drink. We'll be right back. I thought about, like, just going and putting... a ton of olive oil.
It just falls off the tracks.
Like, all buying all the Home Goods olive oil that they have. And, you know, they have, like, the big... I'm just, like, putting it... Don't you think that would help or no? Paul said no.
Country music star Bree Bagwell arrested for domestic terrorism.
Derails a train. It goes through 18 houses. Bless it. This is the longest train that has ever happened. We were saying that is one of the topics that we talk about a lot. You and I is male and female. And I think, you know, I got lucky in the sense that you guys always just treated me like a homie. But there are differences. But we never tried to make it a difference, or I never did too. But it's hard to talk about because people are like, you know, one person in our scene, one of our peers even was like, it's not a thing. And it is a thing. But I like to just be treated like a homie. And that's how you guys always treated me.
Well, I mean... I don't know anybody else that lives the life I do, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or has lived the life that I lived and has traveled like I've traveled and like gotten ready in a van, like putting your pants on, which is one of the hardest things on earth to do because you slip and you slide. Like,
and when you're sweaty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not even on. So you're in there dying. You don't want to catch a charge. So all the doors are closed. Like, but.
Catch a charge.
Dog, like road dog. That's. Nerd and road dog are the best like compliments you can give a musician, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, you are so both of those things.
Especially nerd. Like nerd, you're a beast, like you're a player. Like but I don't know. I'm just like, I guess we're so fortunate to come up with everybody that we did. Like, you know, I was raised by all sisters, you know, everything else. So I'm like, no, it's not a mystery to me about, you know, how women are treated, you know, all that stuff. But, yeah, to say it's not real is crazy. I'd say it's not right. I wouldn't say it's not real. But, no, like, you do the same things I do. Like, you go out, you travel millions of miles, you know, get ready in your car. Like, being on the bus now, like, I actually said that about last time we played with Stelly. He was shaving in his side mirror, and I was like, aww. I miss that. I was like, I don't know what it is about that. I was like, but I miss that, like, just roughing it with your homies, you know. But yeah, like, it goes back to that kind of stuff that, like, I just don't understand, I guess. Like, that's for awards.
Right.
That's for awards, male, female, like the whole, like, I usually don't like girls, but it's like, okay, bud. Like,
right.
That whole shebang. But like, you, like, you know, Jamie Lynn Wilson, like Courtney Patton, Caitlin Butts, like, Caitlin used to put us up in her house, like, aww. In Oklahoma City when she lived, like, closer to Bricktown. And we'd play Wormy Dog with nowhere to stay. And, like, she'd cook us dinner.
Ow.
Her and Dalton would stay up all night writing music, and then she'd kick us out in the morning and we go on our way. But I don't know. It's just like, there's a camaraderie to it that, like, the real ones don't pay attention to that crap, you know, because, like, I know plenty of female artists that, like, it's just artists, like, out sing the boys, out drink the boys, out hang the boys any day of the week. You know what I mean? What is that? You know, it's like sport, you know, they're still athletes. You know,
totally. Well, and Molly was said, well, what do you do in the summer when you're, you know, I get off stage and half my face is melting off, and how do you keep your makeup on? And I said, oh, just Google Brie Bagwell summertime for the last 15 years. It's just a drowned picture of a drowned rat, like one eyelash is coming off. Like, sometimes there's no secret to it. It's like, no. You sludge through what it is, and now I have an RV and I have a place to go, which, sorry, the slide outs are broken, so that's why we're on my porch today. Yeah, you know.
I feel I got lucky with the porch, though. I'm jealous of the porch.
The porch is a nice place to be. It's a little muggy, but no big deal. Do you think Beckman, now that you're playing for William Beckman, everybody, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, do you think he keeps you around because you detail the bus? I'm just kidding.
You do not know how many times I've asked myself that at 3 o'clock in the morning when I should be sleeping. Like, yeah, no,
I'm totally joking.
My level of OCD is pretty intense. And sometimes I use it to my favor. But Beck's kind of the same way. Like, he's a pretty clean person as well.
That's nice.
But yeah, no, that dates back to, like, even Dalton. Like, with Dalton and them, I was always cleaning the vans and stuff just because I can't take it. So they get to benefit off of me, like, not being able to take
That's
it.
That's incredible. Like, that is so lucky. You're a great bass player. And then you also, like, our OCD, because when you said nerd and road dog, and I was like, where does OCD fall in there?
Oh, it's
got to fall
there.
Under the nerd category. Oh, yeah. Because a lot of, I mean, it just gets so messy so fast and so smelly so fast. And I remember making videos for my old, back in the van days, for my old van, and I would sing under the seats, and I'd be like, there's old chicharrones and dried pepperones under the seats. But I'd be like, somebody has to clean it up. And when you get off the road and everyone's so tired, and I get it, you know, you kind of just leave it, and then it just compounds, and it's just
Yeah, Dalton's is pretty bad, as you could imagine, you know, because I mean, we can't lie here. Like, when we were in the Sprinter with Beck, we had our pee corner, right? Like, so
wait, what?
The aim of it is is you get the core bottles because they have the biggest opening on them or whatever. But, like, yeah, no, we knew, like, if there was a core bottle in there that wasn't yours, like, throw it away because it might be a pee bottle. But, like, yeah, no, we had a little corner in the front that you got a little privacy, and you just so you didn't have to be the one that made everybody stop.
Made everybody stop.
Yeah. But Dalton's was worse because he had, like, milk size, like, gallon-sized jugs of, like, pee, and, like, I'd be cleaning that van, and I'd just grab one, and I'm like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I was like, dude, the least you could do is take your pee jugs out when you get out.
Wow, but that's something that you don't have in a girl band, except that I remember when Nathan quit, they all told me that he used to do it, and I just never knew.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, and that was fine. If I didn't know about it and didn't have to pick it up, like, that's fine. But what strange scenario. And now we have the RV, so now we can...
Right.
Use that while we roll down.
You can use a vacuum and stuff like that now. Like, or a broom.
Oh, I thought you meant a piano.
No. Well, that's...
How do you do that?
Yeah, no.
Expand upon
that's
that.
That's other things.
How did you even get the Bette gig? Do I know this?
So I had recently left the band I was with and kind of just put it out there. And Jared French, who now plays for Pecos and the Rooftops.
Who played for me.
Played for you, played for...
He played bass for me.
William Clark Green.
But you played guitar for Will. Is he playing guitar for...
That was kind of his deal. He wanted to go more into the guitar world of things, and
yeah,
the Will gig had just opened up, so...
Cool.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Yeah, but Nick Bacay, also known as Mojo Griggs, he works with Braxton Keith now, but he was the TM for Beck at the time, and we had met, man... His memory's so great because it was like 8 years before or something like that. And he was like, do you remember like taking that guitar for me on Way Bowen's bus and getting it signed for me?
Aww.
And I was like, no. I was like, was I drinking tequila that night? He was like, yes. I was like, then no. But like he remembered that, and they were it was just perfect. Perfect timing.
Cool.
Like, really, I was actually living in Nashville at that time, so I
remember you moved there.
Mm-hmm,
why did you
flyback.
Move there?
With the band I was playing with.
Oh, okay.
Like, it started to be based out of there, and also, you know, I was living in Stephenville for a while, and I just kind of wanted to change the pace, see what it was like out there.
What did you think?
I loved it. Like, all the musicians and the singer-songwriters were super, super cool.
Yeah.
It was a lot like Texas. Like, it was a little more, like, business related. Like, you don't just go, like, jam. As in my experience, I could be completely wrong here. I was only there a year. But, like, you know, just what we would do in Texas. Like, you had a couple at the bar. You get a ride home. And you're like, hey, like, I have a full setup. Like, let's just jam and do stupid stuff. You know what I mean? And we play structured music for a living. Like, let's just jam a little bit and make some mistakes. But there is a little more business. They were like, oh, let me check my schedule kind of thing. You
yeah.
know, like, but I get it. They have, like, rights and stuff like that they have to go do. But
yeah, that's what I love about it.
No, it was great. Like, they were tight-knit in a cool way. It seemed like everybody knew each other and supported each other pretty well, because we were always taught coming up out of Lubbock it was not that way. Like, everybody was at each other's throats all the time. But it is kind of cool there because they have all that business folk that, like, they let the business folk deal with that, and they treat artists as they should.
Yeah, I was never unwelcomed by artists. No. And they also kind of, nobody knows who's going to be the next big thing. So I think they're like nice to you regardless. Like, I don't know if it's 100% because they're nice or just because they're like, hey, maybe this girl's going to be whatever. But yeah, I always liked Nashville, or at least it had kind of, it feels like the tide has turned from, people trying to do the little Texas thing to like, okay, now we got, you know, it was like Wade and Randy kind of got the first deals, and then now it's like Parker and Kojo, right. And like, you know, it's like, yeah, we can sell tickets and we can do things worldwide. And that's kind of what the Nashville artists seem to be jealous of us for. And then I get jealous of like some of the opportunities that they get that I can't have. So it's kind of like we both just different things.
Yeah, it's that's a hard one, especially on our stance back in the days. But I believe it was William Clark Green that like kind of gave us that talk about this, because we were very like college kids. We were very anti like Nashville. It's like all Texas, you know, like all that. And I believe it was William Clark Green that gave the talk to Dalton, saying, you know, like, I better never catch any of y'all doing that. Oh, he was like, because, you know, who are you? You know what I mean? And he says that the same with, you know, I love his take on, you know, guys that were under us that surpassed all of us and went on to do brilliant things. It's like, dude, they're opening the door for everybody else. You know what I mean? And on top of that, like what he said, Dalton's like, they're doing the things you want to do. That's just pure jealousy if you're mad about that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just pure jealousy because like they're doing exactly what you're wanting to do, selling out stadiums, not even arenas, stadiums, you know? So like, that goes back to art though. Like, that's why I won't say like anybody, if I say somebody sucks, like I don't really ever say it like that. I usually just say not my cup of tea, because like that's art, subjective.
Right.
You know, like what you like might not be what the next person likes, but that's what makes art awesome. You know what I mean? If everything sounded and looked the same, it'd be bland and it'd suck.
Right.
You know, but.
And I can't imagine. I mean, I went to see Kojo at the rodeo because he asked Paul to play a couple songs. I was sobbing the whole time, but it's like, I cannot imagine feeling jealous in that moment at all.
No.
Because it's like, those are our buddies. Yeah. Like, those are our friends for 15 years. Yeah. We started together. And
I think that is the true difference, though. Like,
and K-Butts.
Yeah, well, and man, K-Butts. Because of those moments and those things, we always called her our Loretta Lynn, you know, like putting us up and feeding us and all that stuff. And like, I just love her attitude towards everything. But no, man, like, I could even remember when Randall played his first Billy Bob's and I was there, and like I was front row and he got a standing ovation and I bawled like a baby.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, and everybody's like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm just proud of my friend. But yeah, no, like that's, I believe truly that's the difference, not between just us and them, us and everybody, us in Oklahoma and against everybody.
Right.
The only difference is like how we treat each other, and it's passed down from generation to generation. That's how you were taught. That's how I was taught. And that's every day I meet a new young musician, I try to do the same thing. Like, treat them like my little brother or sister. I call Zoe my little niece, you know. That's how we were treated. That's how Wade treated us. That's how Cody Canada treated us. They treated us like their little nephews and put their arm around us and at least tried to... tried to show
tried
us,
to steer us in the right
tried
direction.
To keep us
but
away from
also
things.
Like giving us Jaeger bombs,
right
like,
exactly.
That's also the things that they were doing, but you're totally right. And whenever I meet a new female artist, I'm always, call me anytime, and I do get multiple calls per week about who should I use for radio or how do you do this. It's like, I didn't really have a ton of people that I could call when I started, but at the same time I could call everybody, and everybody was incredibly nice to me and helpful. And do you remember the early days when like we would open for somebody and they would give you cash? Like every single show I played.
Man, we got on with a few. Turnpike did a really cool thing back in the day. We did the same East Coast run with them, starting like North Carolina, and then we'd end up in Florida at the end of it. But, you know, in those days we were making like $200 total.
Right.
A night, you know, full band in a van. So it's gas money, you know, but that's the opening circuit. But Turnpike had a cool thing in their contract back in those days. that if they pre-sold out the show, they bonused out the opener $1,000. And like that kind of stuff. I mean, but that shows you right there, like the people in these like kind of scenes, like,
yeah,
they know what it's like.
Exactly. I've had all of them just come up and hand me wads of cash back in the day.
Yeah, no, like, they know what it is. They're just like, man, like, yeah. They know that's the true like test is that opening circuit is, it's like, you know, crowd might not like you or they might love you, and you're gonna make pretty low money, but the exposure, you know, you can't really put a price on that.
I know. I I'm hesitant to say this, but it's not a big deal. But I just posted that Turnpike's last show that they didn't, when they didn't show up at White Oak Music Hall, and we were, and I was out like thousands of dollars with like hotel rooms, and I still paid my guys and stuff, and I was, it was just such a bummer because they were one of the ones that have been good to me my whole career, you know. It was like such, it was just such a bummer. And now it's pretty funny because if I ever open for any of the big guys, I'm like, hey, where's my bonus? And they're like, oh, come on, Brie, you don't need $300 anymore. But back then it was a lot of money to get it. Yeah. You were opening for $300 and they would match it. Or I remember Casey Downey, he went to him, it was $600 and they matched it. Like they would just match the opening pay from the bar. That's so special.
Right.
Like, this scene really is so special, and like having friends like you, having people that we can just talk to, and there's a deer back there. What advice would you have for, I mean, you've kind of been in the scene a long time with a lot of different types of artists and a lot of different types of bands, and I mean, you seem really happy now and everything's firing on all cylinders, but you know, somebody who wants to like play bass and get to the point where they're in a tour bus like you are, do you have advice for them?
I have one thing that I'll say to any young songwriters, anybody's, you have to love it a lot. Like, because the act of playing music, the sheer act of playing or the sheer act of writing, creating, that you'll never lose love with. And that almost all the time will love you back, you know, just sitting on a porch and just playing some guitar just to do it, like, you know, that part will never leave you. But the music business itself most of the time will not love you back. But if you love music more than it loving you back, you'll always be fine, you'll always be okay. Though there's been years that I've was in tears because, you know, I wanted to quit so bad because it was hard. And I couldn't. It was in my bones. Like, I just couldn't do it, you know. But it's that and community. We've been talking about this whole time. But without the Blue Light community, the Lubbock community, the Texas community, and even at times the Nashville community, like, I would not be where I am, like, at all.
No, but I think that that's a weird thing I tell my guys all the time. Especially the ones that are with me for a long time. It's like, it's my dream. It's my songs. It's my art. Like, you have to work so hard and get no sleep and be away from your families for my dream. That feels so weird to me.
It's the most ultimate form of respect, obviously, but like support. You know what I mean? Like, it's all in. You know, we had that talk with Zoe and her band yesterday. She's like, it's all in. And if you're not all in, like, we get it. Like, that's fine. Like, go find something that you're going to be all in on. But we call those ride or dies, man. Like,
yeah. Well, especially
you're in her, it to win it.
At her point in her life, because my guys now, you know, we get hotel rooms every night. We're not, I mean, they had to drive overnight the other night, but I hired another driver. Right. You know, they're not necessarily roughing it anymore.
No, but still, like,
but it's still roughing it. It's still hard. It's just not as hard as it was. But I think that was the thing, is we didn't know that it was hard. You don't know until later. It's just like the most fun thing you could ever do,
because we loved it. You know?
We loved it. I have to sleep in the van tonight because the hotel lost my reservation. Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't do that now.
There's another thing to that too. And like, I was again telling Zoe and her guys that yesterday, is like, you know, the whole Baltimore thing that happened with us with the airport.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Where we're stuck in the TSA line for 6 hours, and then we missed our flight, obviously. So we had to sit there for like another 10 hours.
But three of those hours were outside.
Yes.
In the Freezing cold. Yeah, that's not
you could tell who was from Baltimore and who wasn't. You could tell we weren't.
Why are you wearing a pearl snap?
Well,
t-shirt?
And I had shorts on too, I had a hoodie, and I was like, "What did I do?" But no, like in those moments, like vehicles breaking down, like you know, things that are inevitable on the road, like our trailer flipping and everything being ejected from it, you know, like it's just sadly that's just part of the road, but like we always like to say, man, this would really suck alone.
Oh, you know what I mean? That's beautiful.
It would really suck alone, and it's fun to go through things that suck with people that you love and like people there, like you're a team, like you're chasing this dream together.
There is nothing more fun than driving down the highway laughing with your band. Like it is the most fun that I ever have. It's like it's so much fun, and you can't describe it when things are, you know, firing on all cylinders. I thought the one time that our trailer tire flew off and passed us on the highway, where we had no cell phone service in West Texas, I thought that was the craziest trailer thing that I've seen. But your trailer, how did that even happen? Because
so
it wasn't hooked up wrong because, oh, no. Randy be driving, he's not hooking up a trailer.
Well, and you know, naturally in bands, you know, because it is brother sisters stuff, you know, you'll pick at each other, especially when you're stressed out, you know. But like everybody's like, you know, did somebody do this? Did somebody do that? But no, we had a lock pin in the receiver end of the bus. So the hitch, the ball, like that section. The pin must have snapped because it and we knew it was tight enough for anybody that's gonna say something about this. Like,
gosh, keep it to yourself.
It was tight enough that we had to hammer it in there. It wasn't a loose, like ill fitting. But yeah, no, I woke up because none of us felt it. All of us felt just the bus pull over, and we thought we were like, oh man, something's going on with the bus. You know, we're crawling out of bed, and Bobby goes, the trailer's gone. And I was like, what do you mean gone? And he goes, look out the window. And I that's when I filmed all that. I like looked out the window. I was like, oh my God. Cause first thing naturally I see is the guitar vault thrown like 20 feet.
It got thrown out of the
chair. Yeah. Most of it, all that I filmed was there like when we walked up on
it.
It snapped. And after I realized like he was saying like the trailer came off, I was like, oh, okay. So it probably slid for a while or, you know, went in the ditch, whatever. It came off and it has kind of that perfect slide leg on it, and it went for like 200 yards, maybe 300, which is scary with that kind of weight on a trailer. Excuse me. But, it went there and then it went into the median, which is also scary, and it hit a drain ditch, like pothole kind of thing, and it started rolling. But I'll tell you what, those, I always wondered those like cable guardrail things they have there. Yeah. I was like, what could that honestly do?
Stop
a gigantic trailer from going into oncoming traffic.
Right, because it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never even think when I'm driving, like, maybe this trailer is going to come off. And
No. Well, and we've been at it so long, like, you know best of all that it just...
Something's going to happen eventually.
If it can happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
What's it like being in a band with Sammy P?
Oh, man.
I love that dude.
Next time we're around each other at the bus, he had AI make a book about our band and had it, like, made into a book. And it is the most ridiculous thing. But I always joke that, like, that's like if Sammy P was like narrating our band's life, you know, because it's like Tequila this and like Road Dogs, like Tequila all this. It's the most ridiculous thing. But Sammy is the oddest person in the world, and what I mean by that is he's like so interesting. He's a lot like Paul, like with, you know, he's a wine sommelier, like he's level one, whatever. Whenever we want wine, we look at Sammy and we're like, what do we get, kind of thing. Speaks French,
right?
Cooks French cuisine, but he has like trashy like Texas tattoos. They're really good tattoos, but you know, when he has his sleeves cut off of it, he just looks like the least cultured person you'd ever meet. And then you talk to him and you're like, oh, this dude's like very smart and very cultured.
Yeah.
Like he knows fine dining, he knows like all that. I mean, he spent a month in France, like with his newly wedded wife. They conceived a child while they were in France.
I know.
Like, it's the most Sammy P story.
It's the most Sammy P. That's so fun.
Except when he talks about UT. Like, that's just my only thing.
Oh, boy. Sorry. We,
well, no, listen, he's...
Let's not go there on
well,
this podcast.
I like UT now. They're in a different conference, but he likes to give me hell because I'm a Texas Tech fan, but doesn't even matter.
Right. I was not, like, born and bred in the rivalry, but I remember... in college, all the football players, they hated going to play at Tech because it
fans rowdy.
Were like rowdy. You can't hear anything.
Throwing
There's
tortillas.
And I was like, listen, where I come from, tortillas are very valuable. We can't be throwing. How much money are these people making if they're throwing tortillas?
They're
not making them themselves.
Well, that's Lubbock in a nutshell, though, right?
Right.
It's like you're on an island. I think that's what I attribute to a lot of like the music out there, like from Pat Green. Wade Bone, we could go down the whole list. Josh, I have all of them. You're on an island. So, like, there's not much to do out there but go see live music and hang out with musicians and go drink at the Blue Light and then drink a little bit more and go to a Texas Tech game. So, that's everything there, you know, is Texas Tech. That's probably why I love it so much, though.
But. Yeah, it was very, you know, I always talk on this podcast about feeling a little bit... not jealous, but maybe jealous. I'm not really sure what the word is, but how the camaraderie of that music scene, you know, they like, come here, I'm taking you with me. Like, Josh Abbott was like, come here, William Clark Green, I'm going to help you. You know, like, they really have this tight-knit thing that I feel like I never really had, which wasn't true because I definitely was, you know, in the same booking agency as, like, Josh Ward and Kojo, and, like, all those guys have my back till the day I die. But it's just really special.
Right.
And I'm hoping we can build that in New Braunfels.
I think, well, actually, on Twin Rivers, they had asked me they got really great questions, too, but they asked me...
Hey.
They said, compare, how does Fort Worth compare to New Braunfels? And I go, man, this is no shade. I love Fort Worth. Like, Fort Worth knows I love Fort Worth, but... you know, that's the hub. You have a scene there, and it's a very prominent scene of heavy hitting musicians, singer songwriters, all that. I was like, but down here, like, there's just kind of a magic to it that I could only really equate to Lubbock. Just with it being everywhere, you know, music is everywhere here, and I'm also getting to see the younger class come up. You know what I mean? That was always a Lubbock thing, is like you get to see the waves happen of it being handed down and all that stuff. But with Lubbock, we always thought it was just a Lubbock thing. And then we finally met Cody Canada and I met Jeremy Plato and like realized like, oh no, this is Texas red dirt like thing. This is how everybody treats each other. We were so stoked because we were so scared leaving Lubbock, like, man, is everybody gonna be like super competitive and like at each other's throats and talking mess all the time? And it's just like, no, like, it's the same thing just on a bigger platform.
Totally. Or I was at a festival early on in my career and we didn't have anything to write the set list on, and I was kind of stressing out, and somebody knocked on the van and it was Cody Canada with like a stack of printer paper and a Sharpie. Like, I heard you needed some, which is probably a nice way, because I was probably like, probably like losing
stressing
my mind.
Out.
But yeah. And it was like, oh, thanks, Cody Canada. Like, that's so
Cody Canada.
Nice. Yeah. And that's how I feel that I hope people think about me and you, which I'm, you know, it's like, you're welcome at our table. You're welcome to ask questions. I want you to feel welcome and supported and loved and not scared of us.
I missed one thing on the telling a younger musician or artist coming up. Be a good hang.
Oh,
that is the one thing they can't teach you in any music college ever. Is, I mean, you don't have to kiss nobody's butt or anything, but like, be bearable to be around.
And sometimes that just means being quiet. Hold on, hold your ears.
So we're here with the train.
So, hey, we're reporting live from the train, or the train's reporting live from us. All these amazing opportunities that you've had, you know, recently, I feel like you wholeheartedly deserve, and I also love your woman. I love me some Tracy. But can we talk about those Moody shows opening for George Strait? It's not a big deal. It's opening for freaking George Strait. Like, did you ever think that was going to happen?
No, like I had my very first band ever. We got to open for Ace in the Hole one time, and I for the rest of my life thought like that'd be as close, and I was fine with that because those dudes are brilliant musicians. But it's weird. You mentioned Tracy and like getting ready for that, and like when it was announced, like I got a little excited, but I was like, all right, and like getting closer to it, like she's getting really excited about it, and I'm just like. She was like, are you not excited? I was like, oh, I'm dying inside. I was like, but I have to, you know, it's another show. I'll be excited after the show.
Yeah.
Once I've done my job, then I'll be like, yes. But, man, it was, that weekend was like kind of crazy because they had a show in between. So we did Thursday and Saturday, and then there was no show in between. We left all our stuff there.
What a dream.
Well, we went and played in... South Padre in between.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we went and picked up a show in South Padre. They rented out the gear that we didn't like absolutely need, the ears or whatever, and the whole time, like the whole week leading up, I'm like, man, I'm gonna treat South Padre like a little mini vacation between it, and no, we were just like coming off the high, you know, of doing that and still like processing like that actually happened kind of deal. And then we get there, and she's, like, running around and stuff. And then by the time we got back to do the second night, like, that's really when it hit. But the nicest, like, crew and band, they were, like, so accommodating. Like, and Moody Center's the greatest. Like, it's, they had, man, in catering, like, you'll see this in catering sometimes. But, like, they had all the medicine. And we thought it was like George's Rider or something. Right. No, that was just Moody. They had every medicine you could think of, like Tums, like anything you could think of.
We are officially old because like, my eyes are like, because you run out of Tums at the worst time. Yeah. You don't want to get it for $8 at the Chevron.
I'm eating enchiladas. Like, I need some Tums,
right,
man.
Right. If you're going to cater me, you should also cater me some Tums. That is so nice. That's
and they
so
paid
thoughtful.
For hydration. Like they brought like IV people in to like do like hydration things. But I'm talking about the weirdest part of like George Strait now.
No, that's a big deal. Like that makes me so happy. That's kind of those things where you're like opening for George Strait, but when you're like, I've made it.
Right.
It's things like that where you're like, people are thinking of more things than I'm thinking of, mm-hmm. which is so usually we're like, oh, I wish, you know, sometimes I'm like, I really wish someone would just put a mirror in the green room. Like, I can't believe, you know, just
we're
anybody
so easy.
Didn't think about a mirror. Like, maybe I should go to Walmart and like gift this bar a mirror. And so when somebody thinks of more things than you think of, I think it's very special.
See, we're so, I mean, like most bands, like we're super easy. We're just like, man, y'all put Red Bulls in there? Like, y'all put energy drinks in? Like, that's so awesome. But like at first, like, I don't know if you saw the setup of like how they had it set up because the stage didn't spin. So they put Ace in the Hole in the circle, and then we were inside their circle, right? But like when we went to rehearsals, they had us set up like that. I was like, why are we set up like this? And they're like, this is how y'all are going to be. And I was like, why? And they're like, that's what Ace in the Hole band does. I was like, perfect. Yeah. I was like, we'll do whatever they do. But like George is one of those musicians that he really cares about the people that paid money to come see him. To the point that he has a microphone in each corner and he does like 2 to 3 songs each and goes to each side of the stadium to make sure everybody can see him. Like,
and everyone can see his butt.
Yeah, and we, you know, he has his openers do the same thing. I don't think he like makes the opener do that, but he explains like, I want the people that paid their hard money to come see this show, I want them to get everything they paid for and love that. And he's just... Ace in the Hole and, you know, everybody, his crew, like Alan, like all those guys, like they're just so nice and so accommodating. And like, do you need anything? We're like, no, we don't need anything ever.
Yeah,
like, we'll sit in our corner over here. But he sounded amazing. That was my first time to ever get to see George live. But yeah, it was awesome. His dream, it is everything we wanted it to be a more.
Well, you deserve that, and I love your journey, and I forgot to tell Gracie my address. Can you
York?
Instagram her?
Gracie,
okay.
York?
She's coming here next.
Oh, nice. And we were at the river with her.
I know. I saw your pictures. Yeah.
We love some Gracie York.
I know. Well, we had a cancellation today, and I saw Gracie the other day with with Tracy, and she said, I'd love to do your podcast. And so we had a cancellation. So I was like, hey, you want to come today? So last minute, I haven't done any research per normal for her, but I love her and I know her. So it's not.
I love her parents too. Like her, her mom, like, you know, that's her daughter.
Yeah.
You know, she's serious about her daughter. But I had just started with Beckman, and we're at, I think it's the Toyota thing in Irving or whatever it is, but either way, they like had Whataburger for catering, and Gracie walks up and I'm like, dude, what's up? Like, gave her a hug and everything and asked her how she's doing. She wandered off, and I didn't realize her mom was like right next to me, and her mom just like looks up at me and she goes, how do you know my daughter? And I go, we love Gracie, like I play, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, protective, baby.
Yeah, yeah, and I was like, no, like I'm like three times her age, bro.
Yeah.
No, but no, where I love her parents, like they're really cool people, very supportive of music, which is always cool. I think that's what got me at the George Strait show, seeing my mom.
I was like, going to say, are your parents supportive? And I'm
sure it scared them like everybody else's parents, you know, when I started, because it's just like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know, but I love it. But,
and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And now we're making money, and you're opening for George Strait, and our buses are parked next to each other. Mine's an RV.
Yeah.
But I did get a new trailer, so I don't look like total junk next to you guys, because it was a little rough there for a minute.
Well, we were joking about today with, you know, I was like, well, we could do only buses. I was like, Beck won't care, you know, like we could just go on there. And then I like looked up the location. I was like, it's at the shop too.
Oh, great. No, the bus wasn't there today. Yeah, because I went and got the banner out and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
I thought about leaving you like a present on the bus, like, hey, a new hat here. This is from Mode. But then I thought I would offend everybody else if I only left you a present and not the rest of your van.
It would only be Beck. Beck would be like, why didn't she leave me one?
I gave her a humidifier and she didn't give me anything. I just want to ask you last thing if you remember this, but I just thought it was funny because Dalton days with you, that's how I met you and that's how we became friends, and we were playing a show in Artesia, New Mexico together, and you guys were driving away, and we had all stayed up pretty late, but I was there with my parents because it's just my parents just jogged my memory. We're all standing on the sidewalk, and you guys are pulling out in the van. I don't think y'all had been asleep.
Probably
and you
not.
Like rolled down the window and you leaned over the driver's seat over Dalton, and you're like, bye, Brie Bagwell. And Dalton goes, thanks for all the cocaine. Which is obviously not true, but my mom and dad were like, oh, what is that? And I was mortified. So Dalton, you little brat, both of you.
Dalton is, and everybody like, you know, everybody wants to know like what he was like when he drank and stuff. And I was like, honestly, I was like, there's not much difference. Like now he can like think out his pranks more, which is terrifying. I mean, he's got me with a few that like felt like real life scenarios. I'll give you one.
Yes, do it.
The Whiskey Myers prank takes way longer.
Was that the same show? Because that's, we opened for Whiskey Myers.
Okay. No, we were doing the same run we did with Turnpike.
Oh, uh-huh.
I'll just tell you this one. Either way, so that night, Slam Jones had a little bit to drink. I had a bit to drink, too.
Aw, but Slam.
We were roommates and at the hotel, and we walk out the next morning, and there was a Burger King in the parking lot. And we were like, dude, this never happens. We usually have to stop, and nobody wants to stop. So me and Slammy go to breakfast. We get in the van. I volunteer to drive first. We always did like 2-hour shifts, like especially when we're going like long distance. So I was like, I'll volunteer to drive first. We're in there listening to rap music and have our Burger King crown hats on. Go back a little bit. I had checked Dalton in front of Whiskey Myers because he slammed the van door on me when I was butt first getting out of it, and he slammed it. I guess he didn't mean to, but I nut tapped him pretty hard in front of everybody. Everybody laughed. Da, da, da. So he started hatching this plan then. But Dalton comes in. We're listening to rap music. He throws the door open, just like super dramatic and mad. And I don't know why he got Slammy with it. I guess I needed an accomplice. I don't know. But like he was like pointing at Slam Jones, and he was like, "What did you say to John Jeffers last night?" And so he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
He goes, "I don't think I said anything." And he goes, well, they're pissed. They want to kick us off the tour, all this. And then he goes, I'm just sitting there listening to this, and I knew it was coming. He goes, Mode, what did you say to John Jeffers? I go, I told him that his solo was so hot that I had to fan it with my hat. It's like, didn't seem that mad about it. Fast forward, none of the Whiskey Myers guys know that this prank is going on. So, like, first person we see when we drive up is John Jeffers, and he's doing the Forrest Gump wave at us. I was like, that dude don't seem that mad. Either way, he gets him in on it. Nobody will talk to me. Like, all this stuff. Shannon Canada had just become our management at that time.
Oh, no.
He got her involved.
Oh, no. That's terrifying.
Saying that, you know, we were rude to bartenders. We were not invited back to that venue anymore. Like, I was falling around Tony Kent because Tony Kent's my hero. Like, I love how he moves on stage. And I was like, I'm scared to talk to him. Why would I follow him around? Okay. Either way. About 30 minutes before set time, like me and Slammy went and had like dinner alone to just be like, we're going to quit drinking, you know, like all this stuff.
Get it together.
30 minutes before showtime, like Dalton calls a meeting and I was like, man, he's going to run us up the wall right now. Like, I don't want to hear it right now. Like, I'm already like motivated to like go off in the show if this is going to be the last show. And he sits us down and he's like, is everybody here? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, just want you all to know it was all fake. And I was just like, dude, I was like, you should have waited till after the show. Because I was like, I'm going to go out play Whiskey Myers tonight, which is impossible. But like,
they are the best band.
Yeah, no. And then forever, the guys from Whiskey Myers called me Stalker because like I was stalking Tony Kent, apparently.
Okay, that's very funny.
But just don't prank Dalton Domino ever. Like, don't do it because his retort will be out of this world.
10 times.
Like, oh, and super smart. Like,
he is so smart. Mm-hmm. He also makes a mean steak. One time he let us stay at his house and he cooked us steaks. So I thought that was so nice.
Yep.
He's a good one. But you know who's a good one? You, Michael Mode. And I'm glad. I think Gracie found her way here.
She's like across the street from where we went to the river.
Oh, perfect. Maybe she has a tracker on you. Speaking of stalkers, maybe she's stalking
Gracie,
me.
My stalker's Gracie York. So,
this has been a long time coming. You're the best. I just love you to death.
I love you, man.
Thank you for doing this. I can't wait to see what you do next. Lots of things in store for Michael Mode. Stay tuned.